Welcome back. Welcome in to Lions Share Podcast. The Lions win it in Detroit, finish the season at 12-5, and head into next week's home playoff game versus the Los Angeles Rams. That means Matthew Stafford is returning to Detroit. It's storybook. It's what we predicted months ago, and the NFL is having a fever dream over it, I'm sure, for the ratings. So week 18 was a wild one in the Billings. The Eagles throw in the towel. The Jags blow it. There were backups all over the place, backups galore and more. And we've got a college football championship tonight, if you're listening on Monday/Monday night, involving Michigan and Washington. So savor all this football. We've got a lot of great football action. We've got wild card weekend next weekend. It's a great time to be a football fan in the state of Michigan. You've got the Lions in the playoffs for the first time in a long time, and they're going to draw the Los Angeles Rams, and Stafford's going to return to Detroit. So with all that said, we're going to give a little bit of a moment of silence for all the fans out there that listen to this podcast who aren't fans of the Lions, or maybe the Lions aren't your favorite team. And if your team didn't make the playoffs, this is for you. Thank you.
Here comes the tithing bowl.
Andrew, sorry. you said you wanted a stress-free day in the Lions-Vikings game. Did we get that?
Well, I did take a nap. I did get Little Caesars. Should have worn a diaper.
For other reasons, not just the
was
Lions.
That like, is that like a combo? Yeah. For what percentage of the diaper would you attribute the food in the Lions?
0% Lions. 100% food.
Wow. Okay, good for you. And Little Caesars.
And the Lions.
And the Lions.
Actually, hold on. Let me back it up. 5% to Sam LaPorta.
Thank you. Yep. The elephant in the room, which I thought somebody was going to throw out there. Didn't want to start the show with so much negativity. But yeah, CD Dew said, after the game, watched his interception replay on the tablet that they give him, the little thing the Lions social team does. He said, got one banner up. That is the NFC Championship banner. He said two more banners to go. So one down, two to go. Love that from CJ. Love to have him back in the lineup. Unfortunately, did lose Sam LaPorta to a hyperextended knee / bone bruise. So not the worst prognosis, but doesn't look good for the star tight end who broke the rookie tight end record today in receptions. Hate to see that. Saw a lot of people chirping online that the Lions shouldn't have been playing their starters. It's funny, though, that chatter only started once LaPorta went down. And I say it in my halftime capsule, man, I don't doubt this decision for a second from Dan. What are you guys' feelings towards this now that we've got hindsight?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it briefly, too, where I said I went back and forth and we talked about it last week where it's kind of like, yeah, just don't play anyone that's going to get that's already banged up. It just is what it is. I mean, if you're Dan, I think looking back on it, easier said than done now, or, you know, retrospectively, revisionist history, whatever you want to say, you had to go for it. I mean, we were this close to the 2 seed. The Eagles got pounded by the Giants. You know, you had to go for it. It just, it's part of the game. It's part of football. It's, you know, we're just glad that it's not a long-term injury and something that's going to linger into next season.
Yeah, didn't really have an issue with him playing. It was a routine ball. We've seen him run that same route 100 times. He's been tackled like that. Probably not 100, just under. Probably, I think, in the 80s there. So pretty routine. Not upset about it for the most part. But after that, you know, you lose Leaf, and you're going to have to remind me who else. I know there was a couple more injuries in there. At some point, though, like those started adding up, and then you had to start looking at yourself like, okay, maybe now's the time to start sitting people. If Goff gets hurt, we're really in trouble, so maybe sit him down, sit Gibbs down, but never back down, so in Dan we trust.
Never back down,
great
never
movie
settle,
too.
Right? So I
thought, like Channing Tatum, and this is the end.
I don't think we're thinking of the same movie, friendo.
Yikes.
Fair enough.
All right. We digress into, I think, you know, with Ferkser out of the tight end room. Brock Wright was out in this one already. I think even if the Lions were, you know, kind of quote unquote mailing this game in, sitting starters, you only have James Mitchell at that point for the tight end. So I think LaPorta is playing in this game regardless. If the Lions had gone out and said, you know what, we're going to accept the 3 seed. We don't think the 2 seed's attainable. Let's sit Goff. Let's sit, you know, Aiden, maybe some of these bigger guys. You can't sit all your starters regardless. You got to play some of them. It's just not feasible. But with Ferkser getting bounced off the depth chart this week, you know, that's only James Mitchell at tight end. So I think we would have seen Sam LaPorta either way in this game, don't you think?
I mean, yes and no. We did bring him back to the practice squad, so it's not like we lost him completely, but I agree with you. Like, LaPorta was going to be out there regardless, like, even if he's in a limited capacity role. But like I said, it was such a routine play that you really can't be too mad about it.
Exactly. And if it was, he had...
And I think just to add on to...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. No, I'm super delayed.
Yeah, that was super delayed. All I was going to say is if it was his, you know, like last week he was limping after the game, right? They said he was limping. If it was his ankle, which was the listing that they had him in the injury report that he injured in this game, I would be upset. With the knee, I'm still a little bit upset, but like I said, it is what it is. Mitch, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I don't know what happened, but it is what it is. It was a routine play that very easily, even if you put LaPorta in a limited fashion, it could happen. It's just one of those things. It sucks. But it's, again, it's revisionist history. I will say, if there's anything, it's not even a knock. It's just an observation and something we'll talk about later. Sam LaPorta is a key to this offense. It is clear. I mean, they were going to him early and often. So that's a little bit of a worry, but I don't know. Again, could have happened on any play.
Yeah, he's the security blanket, and he kind of flows this offense, and the offense goes through him and St. Brown. I mean, that's really year two right there in the passing game, at least. Obviously, the running game, the two-headed attack of Gibbs and Montgomery. But yeah, it is tough because you really see the chemistry that him and Goff have built up over the course of this season, and it's incredible what LaPorta has done. And hopefully, maybe we'll get some good news. I think he's definitely not playing next week. Maybe if there's a playoff run, he gets back into this thing. But it seems like right now his season is likely done. So I'll ask you guys. I asked you guys in the group chat and nobody responded. Classic. Zach Ertz is a guy that's out there and been floated around in the rumor mill.
I would love it. I'd love to bring a veteran in. You know, we were talking a little bit before we kicked it off. Mitchell had a snag today. I was going to say, apparently the key is just to make the hard balls to Mitchell high, not low. Note that, Goff. Please make them high, not low. You know, I think maybe he's a pass catch threat, but I wouldn't mind Ertz at all.
I would take Ertz mainly for his veteran presence. I mean, if you got to imagine they've taken a look at him at some point. I'm assuming he's been sitting on the free agency market here for a hot second. So you have to imagine they've had their eye on him. So if they've brought in Ferkser in front of him, it doesn't really bode well.
No, it doesn't. But I think this does open up the door for something to happen. The thing is, the rumor was that Ertz would go back to his old team, the Eagles, where he won a Super Bowl. You know, that's a big part of it, too, for me. If he does join the Lions team, that's huge to have somebody on the team with a ring. But with the situation in Philly, I don't know if Ertz wants to go there. I don't know what him and Sirianni are like. And I don't know. That doesn't seem like a very desirable place right now. It seems like, in my eyes, I'm biased, but you know, I would think Detroit would be more that role, and hopefully, you know, would be a good seamless operation for him. But I don't know. We've seen this operation, this administration, I should say, not go after guys in the market like this. It doesn't seem like a move that they would make, but it may be just maybe with the LaPorta injury as big as it was, maybe they do. Andrew, you mentioned it. There was a couple other guys that got banged up as well. Brian Branch left the game with a wrist, came back. St. Brown had it looked like what was a rib injury. Kind of speculating that, but it sure looked like it. Kind of left the game, came back, scored that really long touchdown. That made you feel better about his condition. And then Khalif Raymond, who had a great day in the return game and in the passing game, left with a leg injury as well. And Dan said him and Laporte about in the same category. So we don't know for sure on either on Laporta or Leaf, but we do have a little bit more information on Laporta. So we'll have more information on the injury designations Wednesday when we preview Lions, Rams, and wild card weekend number one. So let's talk about this offense. I think it's safe to say that Goff has kind of shook off the bad play of old and seems to be returning back to what we saw earlier this season and through a good portion of last season. Had a couple dimes today, a couple good throws from Jared. I'll be curious to know what your evaluation of Jared was today, you guys, because I thought this was a perfect game for Jared, and not perfect in the sense that he lit it up. I just mean he did exactly what we needed, turnover free, and got the ball, spread the ball around to a lot of different receivers, and most importantly, you know, didn't make any bad decisions for the most part.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and call this one the highlight reel. He put up a lot of end-of-season highlights. Good for him. Put some film out there. But really, at the end of the day, the offense found a way to fail and become stagnant and not put points on the board, and had to rely on Jack Fox and pinning Minnesota deep to really have the defense look good and you know, just gave him a lot more cushion to keep points off the board. And, you know, they tried to make a push late, Jefferson and Addison making some big catches. But really, at the end of the day, he had good highlight passes and stalled offense at the end of the day.
Honestly, I put that much more on Ben Johnson than I do on Goff. I think I've been pretty vocal on here and specifically in the group text to you guys about my thoughts on Goff. And we were just talking contract yesterday. I thought Goff had a good game. He had some really good balls. I mean, that throw across his body was probably the most athletic thing he's done all day. Ben, you said, I thought he could have scrambled for that first down in the first half, but instead he zipped one in. So, I mean, Goff looked good. I think Ben Johnson got a little stagnant. I don't know what happened with Gibbs. Gibbs just non-existent. I really wanted Monty and Gibbs to eclipse the 1,000 yards rushing mark, which Monty did, which was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I put it more on Ben Johnson. I thought Goff had a good game.
Yeah, I held my breath on that throw where Goff, he had a lot of room to run for those sticks. I know he's not the fastest guy in the world, not the fastest cat out there, but certainly seemed like he had more than enough room. But what a throw. What a call from Ben Johnson on a 4th-and-1. I think you're right, Mitch. A lot of that's more on Ben Johnson. I mean, what more can you ask for from Goff? I mean, we know what his ceiling is. 23 of 32 today, 320, 2 touchdowns, QB rating of 124. I mean, you can't ask for any more from Goff. You gotta lean on some more if you want more. Was surprised though, like you said, Mitch, Monty and Gibbs combined for only 70 yards total rushing from the Lions today, and that's what it was for me. I think that's why you got less points on the board than you think you probably should have, and a couple opportunities missed down the stretch. It was just this team that is the MO of this team is kind of run the ball behind that offensive line that's one of the top ranked offensive lines, and to only have 70 points, that would be wild. That would be a Dolphins score. 70 yards rushing. I think that's the story of the day for me as far as negatives. Minnesota's defense is DVOA. Their DVOA is actually pretty good in rushing. Still, 70 yards with that offensive line, it's below average. It's below the bar that should be set. So that's what it was for me. The other thing, the other big stat, 1 of 9 on third down. Not getting it done on third down once again.
Great stat. Didn't know they had that was the case on third down. And do you have their fourth down as well? Because they went for it a few times there.
2 of 2.
I was just going to say, get us to fourth down. I mean, that's what you got to do to the Lions. I don't know. I don't think Ben Johnson had his best in the moments where it counted. Sure. I don't think the scheme to get the Sun God open on his long touchdown, that's Ben Johnson and a good throw by Goff. But yeah, other than that, I just the run game just wasn't there, which is really, really weird. Saving it for next week.
Yep. See, that's where I was headed with that. But it also may be a blessing in disguise for Ben Johnson, who's trying to put tape out there to, you know, eventually be a head coach. A lot of openings going to be happening on Black Monday coming up here. And, you know, we'll see it every offseason. It seems like there's, you know, at least five or six openings. We've already got a couple, and surely there'll be some firings in the coming days. So, hey, maybe a blessing in disguise that Ben Johnson isn't putting his best work out there. And like you said, saving a lot of plays, although we did see Dan Skipper get a catch today. And I thought that was actually, to use the kids' words, low-key huge. Because the after the Laporta injury, the fans were really out of it, and that brought the fans right back into it.
Brought the fans back into it, and just an all-time troll job by DC and Ben Johnson. I loved it. I think that was in the book to do no matter what today. But yeah, they couldn't have done it at a better time.
Thank you, Mitch. That was the bigger part for me, was that just hey, yeah. He did report eligible on this one, though, just so you know. But Ben, to your credit as well, like, it did bring the crowd right back into it. We get the skip cheer. You don't get to hear that super often. So good to hear it. But yeah, just the Daryl Johnson, I think, said it completely accurate. The entire heart sucked out of the Ford Field.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Skip's 40 time might be like 7 seconds flat.
It's up there.
It was bad.
He's not the fastest cat in the world.
He was not moving.
No, he was doing all he could. Did you see what the social team did for the Lions? They also did a nod to this. They had, you know, they have the guys walk in every week, and you see the outfits that they're walking in the building with. They had they first showed Taylor Decker, and they said, what did they say? Reporting. Taylor Decker. I don't know, whatever they did. They did the play on words there. And then they show Skip after that. And Taylor Decker had, quote, retweeted it and said, that's not me. And so, like, they had this series. So if we want to talk about troll jobs, it was also a troll job. And it was kind of the troll job heard around the world. So we'll see if they go back to a similar play next week in the playoffs. Maybe this time Taylor Decker will catch the ball and he'll be reported as eligible. And we won't get effed by the refs. Hopefully Brad Allen not in the crew for the Lions versus Rams next week. We can hope. All right. Let's go to special teams. Special teams was huge today. Khalif Raymond with a near return, almost a house call. Had another decent return after that. Jack Fox kicking the shit out of the ball, as Andrew alluded to earlier in the podcast. Jack Fox, I don't want to say he had a regression year this year, but definitely not the Jack Fox that we've seen, you know, earn him the highest punter salary. And I think today, back to true form, love to see that going into the playoffs, because field position is going to be huge in a lot of these games. And Khalil Dorsey, got to give a shout out to him as well, because he seems like he's always there on punt return coverage. And I would love to see the Lions get a house call in the playoffs. They haven't had a punt return in quite some time. And I think Khalif Raymond is raring up for a big return coming here soon.
Well, maybe.
Oh, well, shit. Yeah, that was dumb. Tommy might actually have to cut that.
Don't you dare, Tommy. You leave that in there.
DPJ. I meant to say DPJ is going to have a big return. That's who I'm at.
He's getting more involved, which is good to see, too. He's a body. I think they got it. Maybe they're saving him. He's a body. I think they need to target in the red zone a little bit more.
Yeah, what do you have, two or three catches today?
Three, I think. Maybe two.
We got him at two. I think that's probably his best game as a Lion. And he think he's been limited to one or two catches per game. Or zero.
I think it was two. They tried to force feed him that third one to get him that touchdown. And to go back to Jack Fox, I thought, you know, he kind of had a regression because he had fewer opportunities. That was my thoughts. I feel like we haven't seen him as much. But I believe he had five more punts this year over last year, 57 compared to 52.
Really?
But back in 2021, he had 65 punts on the year. So tells you the direction the offense has gone.
Yeah, trending in the right way, right direction. And their fourth down percentage going forward on fourth down percentage definitely went up today. I think it was at 51% sure it's a little bit higher after going for it twice today. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I still can't believe I said that about Leaf. That's crazy. Where's your brain, Ben? That was bad. Let's talk about the defense. Yeah, saving the worst for last, maybe here. Justin Jefferson once again owns the Lions, and basically you could give that title to anybody that's a premier wide receiver in this league. You're just guaranteeing that they're going to get over 150 yards in the air. Justin Jefferson today nearing the 200 mark. It's just rinse and repeat story about this defense. They just get torched on the deep end. I will say that it's getting a little bit better because the pass rush is getting better. They are alleviating some issues in the secondary, but it's still such a glaring issue. And with the Rams on deck, I fear what Puka Nacua is going to do against them, and especially with Matthew Stafford led Rams team. That scares me.
To be fair to the secondary, in the first half, they did a pretty good job of not giving him too many meaningful yards. And you can definitely tell Kevin O'Connell had something to say at halftime that was going to be their focus and that was going to be their primary target. And just when they think that they've zeroed in, we're going to hit you with Addison. That's what fears me more with Puka Nacua next week. Go, Mitch.
Well, what were the next words out of your mouth?
I didn't really have any more words.
Cooper
so
can Cup?
You complete the sentence.
I was just gonna say. Is Cooper Kupp playing?
I wasn't sure if he was gonna play. I saw him on the sidelines today. Wasn't sure what the story was.
I think just resting though, right, Ben? See, that's what scares me. However, I would say you could draw a fairly similar line to CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks. So it can be done, but man, one of them's going off. Whether it's Kupp or Puka Nacua, one of them's going off because that's what happens. You hope maybe with CJ DJ, CD Deuce, whatever the F he wants to be called next week. He didn't have a great game today. I know he got the pick at the end, but he definitely looked rusty. I'm glad he played. This secondary is a problem. We talked about it last week. Ben's New Year's resolution was to get a cover corner, and it's more and more evident every week. But Ben, to your point, the pass rush helps. A lean back helps in a major way. These blitz packages AG has been dialing up will be helpful, I'm sure. And I know I'm skipping ahead. I'm just excited for next week.
The pass rush is the ultimate key to this defense. So when the pass rush is there, that the DBs can hang on their own. They can lock it in. I see what you're doing there, Ben. What really doesn't help is when Cam Sutton gets beaten two steps off the line and you have the easy target to just flip-flop it over their head with, I mean, doesn't matter how quick the pass rush is going to get there. It's not going to be in time.
Yeah, and we're going down a rabbit hole, but Sutton, we were talking about it. Sutton on that Addison touchdown, Addison didn't put a move on. It was just, he just ran a streak. Like, he just ran by him, and Sutton was flat-footed, and that was it. So, yeah, it's trouble for sure. I do think having CeeDee Deuce back and playing a little bit more of that free safety, it helps with the take the top off, but I still think they are apt to get chunked for a ton of yards.
Yeah, they're very susceptible to it, and it all lies on the pass rush because you can't rely on the secondary to win you the game. And like you said, with the dual threat of two wide receivers, you know, two kind of premier wide receivers, you got to kind of almost assume one of them's going to beat you, and you have to figure out the rest. You just got to know that they're going to get theirs and try to not let somebody else beat you and do what you can on defense. Bend don't break style game. The points are going to be there. And we'll talk deeper on that on Wednesday's show, but it is hard not to look ahead because it's glaring. It's a glaring issue. And the Rams and Sean McVay are going to know that, and they're going to try to exploit it. So you mentioned it. CJ back, thought that was huge too in my book. Obviously, he needed kind of like a tune-up game with the pack. He's been gone for a while. And what do you guys think about that? There was some talk in the media, and you know, he had his response about, well, now that you've got Kirby playing well and Melifonwu playing well as well, and then you've got Tracy Walker and now CJ, and now they're kind of doing like a little bit of a rotation. I think it took a little while for CJ to even get on the field. At first, he didn't start on the field today. He didn't get in until probably the second or third drive, I want to say.
I think he would, yeah. And he was upset about it, I know, but dude, I mean, you've been out. That's the smart thing to do. Don't just rush in. I honestly had like a little bit of a hold your breath situation when he dove for that ball that was 3 yards out of bounds. Like, I just let it go, man. But then he popped right back up and he looked good. So good for him.
Yeah, I really don't care if he's upset. You know, he's got to be in the rotation. He's coming back from a torn pec in the same season. That's crazy enough as it is. So get him going. That was the whole point of the game, was to tune him up. I still don't think he's ready to go all by himself. Definitely not ready to trust him. I would much rather have Kirby Joseph over the top than him and Ifedi at this point.
Yep. 4 sacks on the day for the Lions defense. Campbell had 1. Aiden had 2. Onzuriki had 1. And then in the TFLs, Pashkal had 1. Onzuriki had 1. Aiden had 3. And Jack Campbell had 1. Jack Campbell led the defense with 12 total tackles, 7 of them solo. Mitch, are you feeling a little bit better now with Jack Campbell? It looks like he's trending in the right direction. Looks like he might be getting into the swing of things.
He's making the natural progressions that I think you want to see. He's been much better. He's been much more consistent. That's the thing. He never needed to be an all-star with Anzalone back there, but he definitely needed to just be more consistent, and he has been that. I think if anything, I've been more upset with Anzalone's tackling of late, as I have also been very vocal to you guys about. Just stick your arms out one time, man. I hate all these guys trying to do the boomstick all the time. Wrap up. He had a nice one later on the tight end. I think Mundy, is that his name? Mundy? Bundy? Undies? But yeah, there's just when Mullins ran for that first down, Anzalone had him if he just wraps him up. That's it. I don't get it. But yes, Campbell's play has been much more consistent, and it's big for the defense because I think it frees everything else up. In a nutshell, every piece of the defense, everyone doing their job, is what makes everyone else successful.
Yeah, Mitch, exactly what you say boils down to trust on the defense. I don't have to waste a half second because I know that you flow too far this way sometimes. You know, I don't have to delay my step because they might come back this way, and I don't trust that you're going to see that. It's now full trust in the defense. And I will say, Jack Campbell looked big today. Started with that first hit, the tight end trying to leap, caught him midair, took him to the ground. But yeah, he looked big today. Arms looked big on almost all those tackles. And that's kind of what you want to see from him. He's going to be kind of the Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson of the defense, but second level. He's going to be a cornerstone piece that's going to be around for a while. Hopefully he's a smart guy like Keekly from the Panthers as well. And he's going to be hopefully around for the next 5-6 years.
Are you making the comparison to Keekly because he's white or...
I mean, it might have been 10% that is sprained.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Not really a social media guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Not a social media guy. Not on that side of the world. Unfortunately for us, the Nick Mullins over did hit. We talked about it in the Wednesday show. You guys both took the under. Well, not great. Made Nick Mullins' stat sheet look pretty good today. But I will say this about the Lions defense. They are marginally getting better. This is 2 weeks in a row you've held teams to 20 points. That's saying something for the Lions. I know it's the Vikings. I know it's the backups. But it is less points than they gave up to Minnesota just a few weeks ago. And they held Dallas to 20 points last week. So I think you're seeing some slight improvements, but they are still so far away, especially in that secondary. So it's tough. But A couple extra things here. Obviously, the Lions finished at 12 wins. That's right at Andrew and I's mark. We both had 12-5. Mitch had 11-6. So we're right on schedule for the Lions, and it really should be 13 wins. They should be above our expectations, and I think we're happy with that. Would have loved the one seed, but San Francisco, San Francisco won last week, and Dallas wins this week. So it is what it is. They're going to be the 3 seed. But either way, regardless, they're going to be a home field team next week in the playoffs, and that's going to be great. Today, I think I counted, I may have gotten this wrong, but I counted 4 pre-snap penalties, and a lot of those were aided by the Ford Field faithful. I think at least 2 or 3 delay of games, as well as 1 false start. There may have been even more than that, but that was great to see. They touched on it several times during the broadcast. This is going to be an incredible environment in Ford Field, especially now with Stafford's return. Going to see a lot of jerseys, I'm sure. Just can't wait. We don't know officially what day of the week it's going to be. There's 3 days of the week it could be on. We won't know till the end of Sunday Night Football, which is still about to kick off right now. So I want to throw a guess out to you guys. We love playing the guessing games with the over-unders, the lines, all that stuff. What do you guys think? Will the NFL put the Lions on Saturday, Sunday, or you think they'll be in the Monday slot? Ooh, editor's note, Lions. Rams will be Sunday night, 8:15.
I think these guys are going to be Saturday Warriors.
Wow, that was very short and sweet and to the point. I thought I was going to have a little more time to develop my thoughts on that. I'm trying to think of what the biggest game is, and it very well could be this. I mean, what I was trying to remember the playoff slots. If it's Monday, I'm going to be very, very upset. I think out of all of them, yeah, I would prefer Saturday. So I'll go with Saturday. I like that answer.
Yeah, it could be. There's 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then 1 on Monday. If you want to put one of them as the top, I would say it's probably the Sunday night game. I would think the Sunday 8:15. Because that's like quote unquote Sunday night football on NBC. NBC gets that one, and then the 2 Saturday games, both on NBC/Peacock, and then Sunday 1 o'clock and 4:30 CBS or Fox gets one of those. And then 8:15 on Monday is your ESPN Monday Night Football. So me personally, I think it's got Monday Night Football written all over it. The Rams have to travel across the coast to coast almost. So I think the NFL will give them some time and give them Monday Night Football. I'm afraid. I don't want them to play Monday. I want to make that clear. I don't want them to play Monday. I just think that's what's going to happen.
Here's my vote against Monday, Packers Cowboys. You got Cowboys in primetime. NFL loves the Cowboys in primetime, and probably the second biggest fan base, Packers. I think that however unsexy or sexy the matchup is, I think that one screams primetime game.
Oh, regardless. Yeah, it's probably Sunday or Monday. Not Saturday. Saturday games are usually the lesser ones. And that's probably got, I don't know, who else do we got in here?
Eagles, Bucks, yes. Texans, Browns, a couple of just whatever burgers.
No, I was going to say Texans, and you're right. So, yeah, looking at the other matchups, that's probably what you're looking at. Lions will probably be a playoff game or a primetime game, I would think. I would think that's got to be a primetime, either Sunday or Monday.
Sunday night. Sunday night would be great.
Yeah, I think if Troy Aikman and the Monday Night Football crew have anything to say about it, they'll take, obviously, the Cowboys-Packers. So, I think you're right. And if they go by seeding, I mean, that would be your 2 versus 7. That would be your number one ranked wildcard team. And it would also be AFC on the other side, depending on if the Dolphins win. It would be Dolphins-Bills, which is already Sunday Night Football this week. So, I don't think they'd do back-to-back Sunday Night Football games if the Dolphins win tonight, right? Otherwise, it would be Bills, Steelers. I don't know. We'll see. That's fun.
Put this in the tickler file, because obviously I know Cowboys are heavy favorites, and you got to think Cowboys are the better team. I think the Packers match up pretty well against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I would say. Right.
I just think Packers have a good run defense. They got two good cornerbacks. Alexander, as long as he doesn't do something stupid, like I think that's a sneaky good matchup.
If it wasn't in Dallas, I would flirt with the idea of taking the Packers over the Cowboys. But because it's in Dallas, they're going to pull out all the strings. All right, no thoughts from you, Papa, huh?
I was enjoying your guys' discussion.
Thank you.
I think Dallas is 100% getting the Monday night show. Game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about that.
The fan bases. I'm going to look that up. Like, I would assume those are the two biggest fan bases in the NFL.
While you're looking it up, quick quiz for you guys. Do you know what the over-under was for the total touchdowns scored this year by the Lions? Because I do have their total number.
Ooh, before, like, total year, what Vegas odds were? For Vegas set?
Correct, but I have their total touchdowns for the year.
I would say, are we guessing the Lions' total touchdowns or what the over-under was?
Their total touchdowns. I don't know the over-under.
I would say 58.
More than 58. It's more than 58. Give me 64.
58.
Let's go.
Ben, you're such a... Ben, you know.
No, I didn't. Hand up, swear to God.
Franchise record.
So my math was 17 games. You get like 3 or 4 touchdowns a game. That's 58.
Move on to the next segment.
Three would get you... Nope, I'm going to trump you there. 3 gets you to 51 times...
I bet you would trump there.
372.
All you ever talk about. Trump.
January 7th, not 6th. Check the calendar, bud. So 3 times 17, 51, and then throw a couple extra ones against the Chargers and a couple other teams. So that's where I got 58.
If you guys are interested, I think you guys will find this interesting because I didn't go straight math nerd. In my mind, I instantly thought of Peyton's touchdown passing record with the Broncos. And I was like, okay, well, they've definitely had to have scored more touchdowns than Peyton got. Throw a little extra juice on there. Good guess.
Thank you. Put the crown on for the second time today for that one.
Packers have the 4th largest global fan base.
Don't know if you heard it. Franchise record on those touchdowns too.
What was the over-under? Was the over-under at like 48?
I don't think he knows.
Oh, I thought you said had it in front of that deep.
No, I said I don't have that.
God damn it. I would have guessed 48. That's what I would have said. Craig Reynolds got paid though. Good for him. Or not Craig Reynolds. God damn it. Josh Reynolds got paid. The Serpent of Death, some would call him. He got half the bonus. He didn't get the touchdown bonus, but they did feed him to get a couple extra catches down the stretch there. Gets an extra $250,000, and good for him. Also, did you guys catch the swag surfing playing at Ford Field and then the special teams unit before the kickoff doing the
swoop? Yeah, Jack Fox didn't know what to do with himself.
I thought he was like low key participating in it. Like maybe he was holding the camera, but yeah, you're right. He looked like he was very much out of place. Jalen Rose was there too. That was kind of cool.
His jacket was so good. That's so fresh, so clean.
That's on the Christmas list already for 2024.
Like you said, Ben,
can't pull that off.
Man of the people in the crowd. I will say he was made for TV, though.
Well, when he dyes his hair every day, yeah. I think he's gotten to the point where I think he's got to let the gray come out because it was cool like for the last 15 years, but now it's to the point where it looks out of place now because it's like, man, it's too perfectly dark. I don't know. Anzalone. We texted about this. I didn't see a lot of people talking about it online, but he put a lot of effort into that spank.
You know who noticed that? I mean, I noticed it right away. Lady Lion number 2 sitting there with the lioness cub was like, was that necessary? He hit the shit out of him.
Was it Paschal or was it Onzaurke?
I think it was Paschal, but I guess I don't know, because it was a big chunk of round rump that he hit, but he got a full connection.
Which one was this one?
It was just like a nothing play, like an inconsequential play where one of the D linemen was out of position, and just like any other team, but like instead of just like patting the guy, Anzalone like just went full bore and spanked him in the ass.
I wish I would have noticed that. I did. Oh man, that's incredible. So he was really just.
Did you say there's no clip, man?
Did I send the clip?
Did you say there's no clip? There's got to be a clip. He hit him so hard.
I didn't see a lot of people.
He's out there just.
The problem with it was when I searched Anzalone, only like two tweets came up about it. And then like two plays later is the play where Anzalone whiffs on the tackle of Nick Mullins and they get that first down. So, and then everybody starts talking about that play for Anzalone. So all the other ones get lost in the sauce. So I never could find it. It may be out there though.
Absolutely.
If you can find Anzalone, look it up. Yeah, it was crazy.
Direct in traffic. On the other hand, did you see Aaron Glenn's glasses?
Yeah, this time I did. Thanks to you.
Okay.
Same glasses though.
Yep, rolled with the maize and blue again, so might be in my brain. Not sure. Still watching.
Well, he definitely can't wear those next week because that's too close to Rams colors, I think. Right? Like maybe after Michigan finishes. He doesn't have a connection to Michigan, right? The football team? The Wolverines? So I don't know why
that's
that
what I'm saying.
Weird. Curious.
That's weird.
Curious. Founder of conspiracy, folks.
Since we've gotten so far off the rails, did you guys know Deshaun Elliott has just been balling out for the Dolphins this year?
I knew he had a pretty good year last year, but you know, when you brought that up just now, I forgot that guy existed.
Are the Detroit Lions safety you? Is that what's going on?
Maybe. I mean,
can't buy a cornerback to save our lives. Literally, can't buy a cornerback because they'll just get hurt. R.I.P. Mosley. But safeties, where greatness is bred. For a long time, too. Shout out Glover Quinn.
Oh, yeah, he's still a Lions fan, too. I don't know if you follow him on.
Big Lions fan. Yeah. Good follow.
Yeah, he is.
Family guy.
Very wisdom. Wisdom filled. All right, let's. Very wisdom. It sounded better in my head. Let's kick it to ourselves to do a little halftime capsules here, Tommy.
Halftime capsule. Up by 7 against the Vikings to end the season. Kind of a blah first half, to be honest. Real bummer to see LaPorta go down at the end. Hopefully it's just kind of a very light sprain to the MCL or something even more minor than that. But it's tough. It's the risk you run. But I'm kind of with Dan on this one. I guess I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not. I go back and forth on playing the starters. But you know, just keep doing what you're doing, I guess. Again, I don't have a lot to say. Just kind of blah. Just get out of here without any more injuries. Win the game, and we'll see what happens later for seeding. Go Lions.
First off, first and foremost, Sam LaPorta, we hope you're okay. Nasty injury there. Hoping it's just minor and not major. That sucks. But we got to trudge on. It's part of the game. It is what it is. Not much more you can say about it. They're playing to win the game. Starters are playing. I don't think, I doubt Dan a second for having him out there. For the Lions, came out with some fury, some controlled fury, but kind of went into cruise control when you could afford to probably hit the gas a little bit more. I'd like to see the Lions get a turnover on defense in the second half. And the offense get back into the rhythm there that you had in the first quarter. Only 13-6 right now, and the Vikings get the ball out of the half. So let's go Lions in the second half. Let's stay healthy, and let's get a W here. Quit letting Justin Jefferson eat your lunch. Let's go.
Well, shareholders, here we are, halftime, last game of the season. I think this is going to sound similar. Probably going to hear the washer in the background too, so apologies. But I think this is going to sound similar to a lot of everybody else's and Mitch and Ben's accordingly. It's all going to sound the same. Sam LaPorta, oh man, it doesn't look good. I don't have good thoughts. I mean, I'm going to knock on wood that it's not too bad. But I think it might be bad. We'll see what they say after the game and in the coming week. what it's going to be, but that definitely was the life of this game, and it showed there on defense as well. In the second half, let's just offense finish a drive, get some points on the board, win this game for Sam. Let's say that. Let's go, Lions.
All right, there's a look behind the scenes of us watching the game as it happened. Let's talk about Bam's players. I'll go first. I went a little unorthodox for week 18. There were a lot of guys that played well. So I went kind of with a wild card choice here, and I went with Khalif Raymond and honorary mention for old rookie Jack Campbell.
I had to give the medical staff a shout out just because, you know, they're out there doing the Lord's work, a lot of injuries, trying to get the guys good to go for the playoffs, and they're going to be on double duty this week here as well, hopefully getting Laporta back on the field. Another big shout out, Leaf looked better than ever on returning. Jack Fox, incredible work out there, and Dave Phipp, just all around special teams, has looked great all season, so special shout out to him.
I had the Sun God as my number one, just kind of one of those games. It's almost like every week, though, where people are like, he has such a good game, and people are like, he is so underrated. It's like, how many people have to say he's underrated before he's just a stud? But he's a stud. But I will go with Khalif to do a tie break so we don't have to give it to Dave Phipp.
Nice. Well, and you got to imagine that. St. Brown had the Pro Bowl snub on his mind for this game. I mean,
big time.
You kind of felt like this was coming. Bring it back to the action against the Rams next week. Speaking of the Rams, we'll know for sure what day that is on Wednesday when we update the preview of that game. But a little preview early here is the Lions are 4-point favorites in that one at home. The over-under set at 51. Thanks to Mitch for providing us with the gambling numbers. All right, let's go to week 18. Let's run through what happened and update you on the playoffs as the playoffs were. If the playoffs started right now, we currently have the Bills and Dolphins kicking off right now. But the one seed for the NFC is the 49ers, of course. Dallas will take on Green Bay. Lions will take on the Rams. And Philly will go down to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. And the AFC, Baltimore's your one seed. They have the bye. The 5-6 or the 5-4 seed game will be Browns Texans. That one won't change, but the 3-6 and the 2-7 might change if the Bills win. The Bills will be home against the Steelers, and Kansas City will play home against Miami. If the Dolphins win this game, it will be Dolphins Bills again, back to back, and it will be in Miami, and Kansas City will play the Steelers. So that's your update, and update on our final regular season records recap. I get to wear the crown. I was a little nervous today. I had a 5-point lead coming into this one, and I finished the year with 182 and 91, under 100 losses, huge. And Mitch, 176 and 97, another huge for him because he's under 100 losses. And Andrew, 158 and 115. So there you go. There's the three-team race. It was an honor to fight against you gentlemen each and every week. Mitch had an early lead in these records and could have very well just picked the same games as me to ensure him a win, but he didn't. So I did the same for him out of respect and picked some different games than him to make this a little bit more interesting. But here I am atop the leaderboard. So it feels good. Not going to lie. It does feel good.
Okay, since we just lost half of our listeners, number one, we're not done yet. We have another game, so you could very easily drop one tonight, you loser. Two, I'm going to bring it back for a second. You guys have to watch. The Lions after the game. Did you see the post game? What Dan said? He said, I think he said special teams. Holy shit, that was some of the best special teams play we've had. Yep. And then they brought Firestone Ford into the locker room too. That crazy old coot.
Ooh. You see she was repping the villain shirt this week?
Firestone was?
Oh, no, sorry. This is Khalif Raymond incident number two for me.
Sheila Ford Hamp, who you wanted to call Sheila Hamp Ford.
Yeah. Martha Firestone, though. Oh, good to see her face again.
She was in there, yep. I think DC gave the game ball to Sheila and Firestone was in there.
I'm glad to see that she's not in a walker.
She is in a walker, so.
What kind of tires do you think got on?
Firestone? Firestone tires, of course. Whoa. Jesus.
Oh my God, that was the most Andrew moment of maybe all time.
We saved it all the way for week 18, baby.
I definitely watched the post game, if you could tell.
Definitely wasn't napping.
I also thought when you said Firestorm that we were talking about Sheila Ford.
Glad it wasn't just me. Glad we got two idiots on this podcast. Good to know. Steelers-Ravens was the first matchup of week 18. Steelers won. They get into the playoffs now. With the Jags losing, the Steelers make the playoffs. No surprise, that was a sloppy one. Texans at Colts. I don't know if you guys watched this game, but it was sad to see the Colts lose it down the stretch there. One of these teams had to lose, and the Texans win it. And with the Jags loss, the Texans win the AFC South. What can you guys say about CJ Stroud, though? Man, that is a incredible turnaround from him and D'Amico Ryans and that whole team. The Texans certainly going to be players for the foreseeable future.
The D'Amico Ryans did, and CJ Stroud really did what every fan base wants when you get a new coach. It's a 100% turnaround. Things are going to be better right away. There's no downtime. So good for them. They got what they wanted. They're going to the playoffs, and hopefully they can make a run. And they look like they're going to be good for a while.
I think you nailed it. I think the only acceptable person over DC to get coach of the year would be D'Amico Ryans. But I mean, that's it. That's the entire list.
Yep. Agreed.
And a quick little shout out to that running back that dropped that ball at the end on the fourth and two. I think he's taken quite a bit of heat here. Not the best ball placement of all time. Not the best ball placement of all time, because he really was wide open. And I know Minshew had a little bit of pressure, but if that's just a foot higher, he more than likely makes that catch. So that was a harder catch. I think people are like, well, it hit his hand. Oh. Well, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. After the game, he was very distraught and very, very much worked up about it. Feel for the guy. Also, could make the argument, why is he out there when you've got Jonathan Taylor or Zach Moss, I think is his name, right? And he's the third string, the guy that dropped it. So a lot of decisions there, and a throw, like you said, from Gardner Minshew, that's not exactly online. It's not a terrible throw by any means, but it certainly could be better, and you can't put all the onus on the running back there, for sure. And you know, similarly to other situations, it doesn't come down to one play. Obviously, that's a fourth down. You don't know what would have happened after that. They still had to score, so you can't put it all on the guy. Poor guy. Buccaneers, Panthers, Bucks get the win. Ugly one. Not much more to say other than the Buccaneers are going to be in the playoffs against the Eagles next week, and they're going to play at home. They win the NFC South, winning this game. And Baker Mayfield, I don't know if he's capable of walking without a limp at this point. Poor guy is always limping.
He had a little miniature violin moment at the end in the post game. I think they asked, like, oh, you got an ankle, a back? And he's just like, yeah, been a tough week. Dude, you're lucky. You're lucky to be starting, player. Brother.
Bengals, Browns.
Did he take a couple rough? Okay.
Bengals, Browns. Mitch was right. Joe Flacco was the key. Bengals kicked the shit out of the Browns.
Yeah, they really. I knew I had the Bengals, obviously, but I didn't think they were going to kick the snot out of them like they did. You never hope for injury, and I certainly don't. It'd be sweet to have Flacco lead the Browns. I think everybody feels better about a deeper postseason run with a certain somebody not behind center for the Browns, but. They got exposed today in a big, big way.
Yeah, this one was probably the most disgusting of the day. The fact that the Bengals could put up 31 points, and granted, the Browns, I didn't see exactly who was sitting for their defense. I have to assume quite a few of them on the defensive side of the ball were sitting, but 31 points And for their offense to only put up two scores on the other side of the ball, that's wild that Joe Flacco makes that much of a difference as he falls asleep on the sideline.
Yeah, and they get they draw the Texans at home. The Texans will be home against the Browns. That's a pretty good matchup. The new guard versus the old guard. Flacco, one of the oldest players in the NFL, and you've got CJ Stroud, one of the youngest at the quarterback position, leading his team as a rookie into the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And the Browns, obviously, everybody knows their history.
That quarterback hug at the end of that game is going to be hilarious because it's going to make Stroud look so small.
That picture is going in the Hall of Fame, 100%. Like, that's just going to be the story all week. Is like Joe Flacco was you know throwing balls for the Ravens, and CJ Stroud was in kindergarten. That's going to be.
Is Flacco going to come back next year? You guys think?
Oh, I think it depends on how this season ends.
I think if you're the agreed, well, sorry, Andrew. I think if you're the Browns, you have to at least bring him on as your quarterback's coach, and then if shit hits the fan, he's your quarterback.
I don't know if you're going that far. I think he takes you on a deep run this year, and he's a 1 year rental, maybe one more year. But it's Flacco. I mean, I think he knows it himself. He doesn't have a whole lot in the tank. Wasn't really looking to get back into it by any means until they came asking.
He's doing the same thing he did in his prime, though. I mean, he's just chucking the ball all over the place, throwing touchdowns, throwing picks.
He will turn 39 here in 9 days. He's got a January birthday of January 16th, so he's going to turn 39 here in the playoffs.
You got to think one hard shot, though. One hard shot changes that's messed everything up, dude. With that 39.
That's messed up.
39?
Oh, so at 38, he's not going to get messed up?
I'm just saying, anytime at this age.
Yeah, he's fragile. I mean, what can you say about it?
I've started an argument. Speaking of age, Ben, talk to us about the Patriots.
Oh, great. Thanks. Great segue. Snow game. We finally got a snow game in the NFL. It took 18 weeks, and here we go. Belichick, maybe his last game here. Everybody's saying, you know, they'll be firing him, and Ron Rivera, the other one. Probably losing their jobs. I got to say about this game, I wanted to take the Jets, and I read your note, Mitch, about the Pats, and Bill wins his last game in New England. So that was so compelling to me, I changed my answer. So I regret doing that.
Didn't see it coming though. Like I did not see. I thought that the Patriots are going to play way better, and I think this is the ultimate sign that it's time for the Patriots to smash the reset button.
Did you see the stat? This is the first time Bill has lost in Foxborough in the snow ever.
That's an awesome stat. Sucks yeah, for Bill because that's the 15, guy you want to take undefeated.
Right. I think he was 15-0 in snow games in Foxborough till today.
That's crazy, too, because they flashed the camera to the sidelines at one point. You could hardly see his face, which was very cool. It's just such a cool visual to see for football. I can't believe the Jets put up 17 points. I think that's the more shocking thing of it all. They're capable of 17 points offensively.
Yeah, it's valid. I don't know. I'm done with this game. I'm done with these two teams. I'm over it. I'm also done with the Falcons and the Saints. The Saints win it big. The Saints almost snuck into the playoffs with a win here, though.
I've got a little bit of a live update for you guys here. Ooh. Are you guys watching Sunday Night Football?
No. But Josh Allen just threw an INT.
He did throw an INT. They definitely should have had first and goal from the half-yard line. Huge PI miss. And then the Dolphins DB catches the ball in the end zone, decides to bring it out, and gets tackled at the 3-yard line.
Yeah, guess who it was? It was Eli Apple. Of course he did.
Idiot.
If anybody else is going to go down there, Eli Apple is going to try to make it about him and make it turn it into a big play. That's equivalent to somebody, instead of falling on the ball, trying to grab the fumble and fumbling it themselves. That's right up there with that. So the Saints win. Back to the Saints. Saints win. Titans win over the Jaguars. Shout out Mitch for switching his pick. By the way, for those who don't know, he switched his pick. Saturday, I think, switched your pick to the Titans. And looked like a questionable decision at the time. But the Jaguars are who we thought they were. And the Titans get a win at home. And Derrick Henry, probably his last game as a Titan, got on the microphone after the game and said his thanks to Nashville.
Yeah, that's a lock.
The London Jaguars lose their way out of the playoffs.
Love that. Great call.
How poetic.
We don't get to do a Duval down or Duval anymore. It's sad, though.
I probably jinx that. If I'm an NFL GM, I don't want anything to do with Derrick Henry.
Really?
You do? I mean, I know he's had a couple of good runs, including today, but...
do you think because he's 30 now? Age?
I think he's 30. Yeah, I think he's 30. I mean, how has his season been? I don't think it's been anything remarkable. I mean, it doesn't help that the Titans are not good, but I'd have to look up his stats. I guarantee you he's going to want at least $8 million a year.
Yeah, because he's about the age as Eckler is, and Eckler was asking for, like, what? A pretty hefty...
Oh, I think Eckler is way better than Henry.
Ooh, two different style running backs, though.
You'd rather have Derrick Henry over Austin Eckler?
Depends what my offense was all about. If I had, you know...
Pick one, regardless of everything else. You just have to pick, who would you rather have on your team, Derrick Henry or Austin Eckler?
Derrick Henry.
Andrew?
Derrick Henry.
Wow! I thought you guys were smarter than this.
Well, look, we don't even know the difference between Martha and Sheila.
I like Derrick Henry. I like the big back style, but also people were calling the Lions nuts for dumping Jamal Williams, and you see what he did this season. Had a downturn, to say the least.
Yeah, I will say he's had a better year than I thought he did. 4.2 yards per carry. So in my face, I think Austin Eckler gives you both. He gives you the versatility that Derrick Henry doesn't.
Yeah, I think he's more of a diva, though. I think Derrick Henry is much more of a locker room guy.
Well, Derrick Henry got paid. He got paid first.
Fair enough.
Isn't his contract crazy high?
Well, yeah, I mean, but that was pre Jonathan Taylor drama and Saquon drama. Now it's probably gone down, but anyway, while you're looking that up, Bears, Packers get the win. They're in the playoffs. Hate to see that. Almost had them lined up with the Lions. Had the Rams lost to the 49ers, the Lions would have played the Packers at home. But now the Packers have to go to Dallas to play. So speaking of Dallas, Cowboys won over the Commanders. That was a big one. Ron Rivera probably gone. Gilmore, I thought, got hurt in this one for Dallas. I'll have to follow up on that. I don't know how severe it was, but that could hurt them in the playoffs. And Seattle wins it over the Cardinals, even though, you know, this one had no implications. Seahawks had to win to get any hope, but they didn't get the rest of the chips to fall in their favor. So, big note from this one is Matt Prater missed two field goals. And talking about it pre-show, probably the end for old Matty P. Sad. Do you have...
Yeah, you don't miss two of them to lose. And come back.
Not at home, not indoors.
We need the next chunky big leg. We went from Janikowski to Prater. We need the next guy to come in.
It's not going to be Randy Bullock, I'll tell you that. He's got the fat part down. He doesn't have the other part down.
Now, who's in college? We got to have someone coming out of the college this year that's got a little bit of extra cushion for the pushing.
Speaking of cushion, how cushioned is Derrick Henry's contract?
It was 4 years, $50 million. So that's a lot of money for a running back.
It is, but it's, I mean, you'll take that for him, I think. Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs win it 13-12. Not a lot of starters playing in this one. After Sam Laporta got hurt, you saw Andy Reid pull Derrick Henry. Now my head's there. You saw Andy Reid pull Travis Kelce from the lineup. Surely that had something to play with it. It had happened just 10 minutes after the Laporta injury. The Chiefs get the win, but it doesn't move them in the playoff standings. A couple more games here. The Giants, the G-Man. This one's a big one we got to talk about. G-Man won it over the Eagles. Yeah, it was bad. Really bad from the get-go. A shellacking for the Giants over the Eagles. The Eagles threw in the towel. They brought in Marcus Mariota. Hurts hurt his finger. his middle one to be exact, and AJ Brown with a leg injury, which we don't know exactly how bad it was. Obviously, he didn't return though. And yeah, the Eagles have real issues. I'm curious to hear what we hear from the Philadelphia sports radio tomorrow.
Everyone's going to be calm. First of all, Hurts didn't just hurt his finger. He broke his finger or dislocated his finger.
Fair.
But everyone's going to be calling for Sirianni and his staff. We talked about it last week. I just think there's no escaping it. They're lucky they drew the Bucs, because I think any other team in the playoffs in the NFC bounces them round one and Sirianni's done for sure. I think they can beat the Bucs and it buys Sirianni another year, but he's going to have to clean house.
I agree. I don't even guarantee they can beat the Bucks. I mean, they're lucky they got this one. Say that again. Where is it at? Is it in Philly? I'm assuming.
No, dummy. They didn't win the division.
Okay.
It's in Tampa.
Thank you. Then it's definitely still up in the air. I wouldn't put it past Baker to beat the Eagles this week. If AJ Brown can't go.
I feel like similar to like you buy those fancy watches where you can see the inside of the watch working. I feel like we just saw the inside of Andrew's mind mid sentence being like, wait, where is this game at? Oh God. My face hurts.
I just need a refresher sometimes.
Yeah, that one's in Tampa Bay. Buccaneers, we'll preview that one in the next show. Broncos, Raiders, who cares? The Raiders won. Rams, 49ers, we know the outcome of this one. The Rams won it, barely. Both teams with backup quarterbacks and a classic who wants it less game. And the Rams get it done. That means they play the Lions, and we'll preview Lions-Rams in what will be a thrilling week. A thrilling showing in Detroit. Big week on tap. We've got college football tonight, which we'll preview in just a minute. And then it's on to wild card, and the NFL is the sole football provider for the United States and the world. So get ready, folks. Get ready. Do you guys have anything else?
It's time to get ready for the UFL season.
Hey, shout out to the Brahmas, the San Antonio. Texas has three teams, baby. Three of them.
That's crazy. Who's San Antonio's?
The Brahmas.
What's a Brahma?
It's a bull, I think, or something like that. They always say horns because it's not UT. It's not horns up. It's like it's horns forward, which is stupid. But
watch out,
horns forward.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Soon we're gonna have horns backwards band.
I don't get it.
I think that's cool.
I'm still trying to look up what a Brahma. Oh, you know who is going to be the head coach of the Brahmas? It's none other than Wade Phillips.
Oh, that's cool. You know what? I just think it's a big mistake for the Michigan Panthers to not be in Grand Rapids. Like, why would you put them in Detroit? Why not try to, if you're going to do it, at least try to get the other side of the state?
True. Do they have the infrastructure there, though?
Just going to ask. I think you'd have to go to Muskegon to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you. Where are they playing in Detroit? I guess I don't know why
Ford Field.
I expected you guys. Oh, is that where it is? Okay, yeah, so you'd probably have to build something. I mean, there's plenty of high schools with ridiculous stadiums in Grand Rapids, but yeah, I guess you'd have to build something. So, all right, and that's talking UFL.
They do play a lot of those games at neutral sites too, by the way. Like, because the first year they did it, all of the games, every game was in Birmingham, Alabama. And now it's, I don't know. I was just talking to a guy that lives here who works for the UFL. So anyway, we got to stop this talk because it could go on. Let's kick it to ourselves to talk college football preview Michigan versus Washington. And we'll outro the show.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Thank you, Tommy, for the edit and for us throwing it to us here in the college football segment. We've got the college football expert back again. Drew, you were very close on the score last time. I'm not going to ask you to predict a winner because I know you don't like to do that, so we're not going to ask you to do that. But Washington obviously had the higher scoring game with Texas, and Michigan, Alabama a little bit lower scoring, but did have the benefit of going to overtime to get some more points on the board. So where do you see this game between Michigan and Washington lying?
So I'm leaning towards, I mean, obviously Vegas, I believe it's a -4.5 in favor of Michigan right now. I saw a lot of the analytics and computers put out 30-24, 30-26, which, I mean, obviously jives with Vegas. I'm leaning more towards 34-23. I do think it'll be closer than the actual score in favor of Michigan. But I think towards the end, you know, Michigan's going to try to be bend, don't break. I think that's the best way to approach an explosive Washington team. So I'm going 34-23 Michigan, and like I said, it will be closer, but I do think Washington's going to be forced to pass up some field goals, you know, on fourth down, and that's where I think that's going to get that that score from.
So, yeah, so Drew is officially on Michigan to cover and the over for the folks at home.
No betting advice. Want to handle gambler.
Let's just ride the hot hand, but that's it's just facts.
Yeah, if they can eliminate a lot of those big plays that they had against Washington had against Texas, if Michigan can do that, I think they'll be sitting all right. Because what did they? How many sacks? Do you know, Drew? How many sacks they had against Bama? It was quite a few, right?
I believe 6 had Bama's sack total for like a game this year. I think they gave up 6 to Michigan.
I think it was 5 in the first 5 minutes, and then 1 in the second half.
Yep, they dominated. And I know, I mean, Bama's O-line isn't Washington's O-line. I mean, Washington's O-line is the Joe Moore Award winner this year. Bama started a couple. I mean, you saw Bama center, who's now recently in the transfer portal for good reasons. And then they started a true freshman at tackle, which I don't care if you're a 5-star going to Bama, you can't start a true freshman on the O-line. It's just a different level of strength and different pace of game. But so, yeah, it's going to be the Washington-Michigan game. It's going to be Michigan's secondary, obviously, versus Penix. And I think they're going to look at it kind of like Ohio State 2021, you know, when they had all those stud wide receivers and try to do that same type of thing. Bend, don't break, you know. I think Washington is going to get a lot of yards between the 80s, you know, and be held up in the 20s. So that's where my prediction's coming from.
Got it. I considered, you know, this game's down the road here in Houston. I considered looking at tickets, and I was quickly shut down once I realized the price. And I'm trying to look them up right now to see if they've gone up or down.
They did go down once Texas, once the Texas game ended.
Sure.
For obvious reasons. I've been seeing a lot of, you know, 2,000 and change, obviously, but they were up there after Michigan won.
Yeah, they were the cheapest you could get in the door when I first looked at them right after the Michigan game was about right there at 2,000.
For a minute there, they were sitting in the threes.
Oh my God, we're talking Taylor Swift prices here.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm seeing $900. That's a little bit more manageable. I might reconsider my options. Houston's only about 3 hours away.
Hey, just take the Michigan over, or Michigan to cover, take the over, you know, put a little bit of money on that and it'll pay for your ticket.
I don't want to jinx this person, but I do know someone who put a future on Michigan to win it all at like the beginning of the season. And that exact thought process was like, they were talking to me today, like, I'm so confident that I want to go just because I know my ticket will get paid for.
And I know a couple people like that too. I mean, obviously, they're not trying to get the tickets, but I know a couple people that put those futures in because with a little bit of money on it.
I have a question. Not necessarily about that, because that could play out differently. But, like, if you ever had a bet that was a long shot and you were coming down to it, like, would you ever cash out before? Like, if you had a big parlay that was missing one leg and you were waiting for the outcome, would you cash out or would you let it ride?
I think there's a lot of things that go into that. One, how bad do you need the money? Two, how confident you are. How confident you are in that that next leg. And then obviously what the cash out is, because I mean Vegas knows more than anything, but they'll make it worth your while to sit that out a little bit and not sweat it just in case they can get their money back.
Drew nailed it. But I, most of the time I try to err to like if and that's always parlays for the most part, because you hit your legs and then it gets down to it and it's like, all right, like now we got to make him an offer. But I think most of the time you just let it ride, because then it yep. feels like bad luck.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's literally deal or no deal with Howie Mandel. And Andrew knows exactly what I'm talking about with that game. We had a lot of those instances come up at the arcade.
Hey, man, that game's a cheat. I know I followed those briefcases.
And that's why you can no longer play it at the arcade, because they got wise to us.
He's banned.
Seriously.
Love it. I'm any side you, requests. I think it's going to be a good game. Similar score in mind. I don't think Washington's faced a defense like Michigan's all year. And you saw, I mean, Bama had to start relying on Milroe's legs, and yep. Penix doesn't have that. So, I mean, he's going to throw, and it. I think you're right, though. I think it's going to be bend, don't break, and Michigan's defense is what's going to get him the natty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a good game. Washington's closest similar style of opponent was Oregon State, and that was one of their closest games of the year. The biggest matchup, like I said, Penix versus the secondary. Obviously, Michigan's D-line versus Washington's O-line, especially with Washington's running back, Dylan Johnson. He had a leg injury, similar leg injury that he's had, I believe, twice this season. I saw on ESPN that he looks like he's going to try to go, but I think that's more similar to what Corum was last year against Ohio State. So we'll see what he's able to do.
Yeah, any other injuries on either side?
Michigan has a backup, but Michigan rotates so many guys on the D-line. One of their basically third-string D-linemen got hurt, and then one of their corners, or actually starting safety, did injure his shoulder during the game, and he came back for a couple plays, but primarily the second string played after that.
Gotcha.
Now we heard about Washington's O-line versus Michigan's. What about Michigan's O-line versus Washington's defensive front?
I mean, that's something people don't talk about enough. And to be honest, I don't think they're very tough when it comes to, I mean, everyone knows Washington gives up a lot of yards on the ground, and that plays right into Michigan's hand. I think Michigan is going to go into kind of a similar style to what they did against, not necessarily Penn State and Iowa, but they're going to try to run the ball a bunch. They're going to try to milk some clock and limit the possessions that Washington does have with the ball. That's going to really put the pressure on Washington to score when they actually do, because Washington's used to getting the ball a ton, you know? So if they can limit their possession, I think Michigan will be sitting good.
Do you think Jim's going to take some responsibility away from JJ after his performance? You think Jim's going to take some of JJ's responsibility, keep it on the ground a little more, take the ball away from him after his performance?
Not necessarily. I just think they're going to go a little more towards the run. And, I mean, you'll be able to find out real quickly if that's the case or not. There's still, I mean, Jim has all the confidence in the world in JJ and continues to say that. I just don't think, as you saw during the Alabama game, Michigan came out in a lot of, you know, Michigan's typically in 12 personnel, and you didn't see that very much in that game. You know, they did a little bit towards the end, but you saw him spreading out wide. You saw JJ clear in the pocket by himself. I think you'll see a little less of that against Washington.
All right. So last question to pose to you. Are you going to watch this game in the same place that you watched the semifinal, and are you going to wear the same thing?
Oh, come on. You know the answer to that. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Even had to make sure the girlfriend was going to be able to make it, too, because she's got to be there, too. So, I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious.
Yeah, no, just like Harbaugh's, too. Switching seats at the before the last drive. I love that part of the interview.
Oh, yeah.
We can relate. We can definitely relate. All right, Drew. Thanks for being here. College football expert, everybody. We appreciate you being here, and let's go blue. Let's go blue on Monday against the Huskies, yeah, no, right?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. Go blue. Go Lions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
See ya.
See ya.
Closing time. Join us next week for the first ever Lions playoff preview in this podcast's young lifetime. Wildcard weekend is on tap. Lions, Rams, we'll know exactly when they're going to play on Wednesday. 8:15, Sunday Night Football, NBC. Click the follow button on Spotify and Apple. We love you all. Let's go Lions. Let's go blue against Washington. Beat the Huskies. I'm out. Meow.